As many so do. Joshua chapter 4, we're going to begin today. I think we have a good message today from the scriptures that's going to really encourage all of us today, and so I'm excited to share it with you. Matthew, where did I get that from? Joshua chapter 4, follow along with me and then we'll pray. Verse 1. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean to you?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off from before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." And so the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. And Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. And now the priests who carry the Ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed. And the people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed over, the ark of the Lord and the priests came to the other side while the people watched. And the men of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over, ready for battle in front of the Israelites, as Moses had directed them. And about 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. And that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him all the days of his life, just as they had stood in awe of Moses. And then the Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant law to come up out of the Jordan." And so Joshua commanded the priests. And the priest came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and no sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. And we'll stop there in the reading of this particular account. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your word, and your word brings us so much in our lives. It points us in so many good directions. It can change us. It can transform us. It can mold us. And we're praying that it would do all of that today, Lord. Let not this day pass us by without you doing something in our hearts because of what we've heard and shared and experienced today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, it was a common practice, you know, of the Old Testament people of God to erect monuments of stones after every great event or important event that took place. And you know, that practice of building memorials, that still lives on today. We have so many memorials, don't we, around the world and even in our own country. Did you know that the Gateway Arch in St. Louis is a memorial? That it is the centerpiece of the Jefferson National Expansion Memorial, built to commemorate the westward expansion of the United States. The arch is a memorial. In 1981, a new memorial initially received a lot of criticism. It was built on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., the Vietnam Memorial. And it invited the viewer below ground level to read the names of the war's more than 58,000 dead and missing. and their names are inscribed. I don't know if you've ever been there. Their names are inscribed on two 247-foot black granite walls. But there was a lot of controversy. There was a lot of criticism surrounding this particular memorial. But as soon as it opened, the critics were silenced as they did their walk by of those two walls. And let me tell you, on a hot summer day in Washington, D.C., it's very hot below sea level against those granite walls. The Vietnam Memorial. We have the Oklahoma, some of you may remember this, some of you may not, the Oklahoma City National Memorial and Museum, dedicated 5 years after the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building. How many remember this? 168 lives were lost, and they built a beautiful memorial there at that site. USS Arizona, final resting place of many of the ship's 1,177 crewmen who lost their lives in the attack of Pearl Harbor 78 years ago. And the memorial is 184 feet long. It sits actually on the surface above the sunken vessel's midsection, right on the surface. We could go on and on, couldn't we? Memorials, monuments built. You know, but on a personal level, we build memorials too in our lives. We call them memories. We have memories of places. Sometimes we go back to Winona Lake and drive by our first hole-in-the-wall apartment and wonder how in the world did we ever live in that tiny little place, right? And that's a memory of our life together almost 37 years ago, I believe it is. We have memories of people. Those people whom God's used in our lives, we remember how God placed them there at every time that we really needed them. We have memories of experience. We keep mementos. How many have mementos, right? We keep mementos to remind us of all of our experience, souvenirs, t-shirts, coffee mugs, keychains, magnets, postcards. You know that drill? All to remind us that we had a great time on vacation. We keep and we display all kinds of things to help us walk down memory lane, things to remind us of something special that happened in our lives. If you were to walk in my office, you would see pictures of my dad, pictures of my kids, pictures of my grandson, a lot of pictures of my grandson, right? A copy of my final project of seminary, a Norwegian hymn book. I can't read it. I can't sing out of it, right? It's all in Norwegian, but my son gave it to me. My diplomas, a hand-carved wooden table from Africa that I transported back in my suitcase. I did. It's true. A treasure box of every card of encouragement that I've ever received from all of you. I have in a box. Saved. Mementos. Memories. Our lives are filled with these memorial stones to help us remember. And you know, in the scriptures, there is this recurring theme of God calling us, calling his people to remember. And one of the first memorials was Passover. Their very first Passover was to be a memorial to the Jewish people forever. Exodus chapter 12 says that the blood will be assigned for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, you remember this? When I see the blood, God's told the people of Israel, I will pass over you. And no destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. And he said, and right after that, he said, this is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance, a memory, a memorial. And then after the Israelites went from there, they went into the wilderness. They spent a lot of time in the wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness, and they were commanded in the wilderness to take a pot and to fill it with manna. You remember that little, the bread stuff? Really wasn't, Not the bread I would want to eat, right? Okay, but it wasn't a French loaf, all right? But anyways, they were told to fill this pot full of manna and not to forget how God had provided for them. And Exodus chapter 16, it says, this is what the Lord had commanded. Take an omer of manna, keep it for the generations to come so they could see the bread. I don't know how they kept it, preserved it. I don't know, all right? But they did. God did. And he says, see the bread I gave to you to eat in the desert when I brought you out of Egypt. Memories, memorials. Then they come to the Jordan River. And Joshua commands 12 stones to be taken out of the Jordan River. He sets it up as a memorial. And the stones would jar their memory. The stones were to jar their memory of how God cut off the waters of Jordan and allowed them to pass over on dry ground. Now, remembering is important to God. Remembering, just say that to somebody, all right? In fact, the very word memorial comes from a word that means to prick or to pierce or to penetrate the memory. It's like someone jabbing you. Oh, yeah, right? I remember. One of those kind of things. But the question, I think, is why? Why did God want them to put the stones as a memorial? And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is a few things about why. Answering the question, why? Why did God want them to put the stones up on the banks of the Jordan River as a memorial? And I think the first thing is this. The first thing is important, to remind them that it's all about God. It's all about God. Seeing the rock pile, notice we have one today. All right. Now, we're not to scale because Joshua said that they were supposed to pick up a rock and put it on their shoulder. Probably not like this, right? But more like this, a big rock. All right. Yeah. All right. Not to scale, but he says, it's all about God. And the people of God would clearly know that they didn't cross the Jordan on their own. The stones would cry out, God did this. Right? Whenever they walked by that pile of stones, they would know, I didn't get there by myself. I didn't cross on my own. God did this. God did this. Say that to somebody. Now, here's the thing. The reason that they knew that God did this, because the river was at flood stage. It was impossible to cross the river at flood stage. But it wasn't impossible for God. God told Joshua to pile up the stones to remind Israel of the time when they were helpless in an impossible situation, and God's power helped them. God's power helped them. And so the first thing we need to know is that it was all God. It's all about God. The stones are all about God. And the second thing I think is important is that the stones were meant to keep them from forgetting God. God knows humans better than anyone. He knows that you and I have a problem with remembering. And in fact, well before they ever reached the banks of the Jordan River, God warned the Israelites not to forget him. Way before that. In fact, before the 40 years, he warned them. He said it in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give you a land with large flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and you are satisfied, be careful that what? You do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You see, God wanted this heap of stones to be a visible reminder that every time they walked on the banks of the Jordan River in the town of Gilgal, that they would be reminded of what God did. What God did. But before I move on, I just want to tell you how strong this temptation is to forget God. It's so strong, the temptation to forget God. In fact, the book of Judges offers this sad commentary on the people of Israel because they forgot about the stones on the banks of the river. They forgot. It says in Judges chapter 2 that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, he died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance. And after that, a whole generation had been gathered with their fathers. Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done. And then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. Now, I don't know about you, but this is a sobering and a scary passage of Scripture. Because you know what it says? It tells us that it's very possible for a devoted person of God to walk away. It's possible for a devoted follower of Jesus to just walk away. Just walk away from God, deny that he exists, deny that he's done anything good or powerful or beneficial in your life. You know, it's so, so easy to forget, isn't it? To forget. And I think we need to be warned. We need to be reminded of that. And there are a few things that cause us to forget. One thing is we just get in a hurry with our life, and we tend to leave God behind. We simply get in too big a hurry with our lives. We get caught up in the minutiae of life, the details of life, the pace of life, and then we just run ahead of Him. And then we forget. How many have you ever had the experience of that? You just like, all of a sudden, just dawned on you, you're just like, oh no. I haven't gone to God in a long time. I haven't thought about God. He hasn't even been on my radar for a long time. I've just been going about my business, living life. And it's like, oh no. And it feels empty, doesn't it? There's this space that's just empty. I know I have, and I'm sure that many have as well. And so we can get in a hurry and forget God. But the second thing, we tend to forget God, ironically, when we feel helpless. Often we get caught in this crevice of life, you know, something hard, something difficult, some circumstance that's really tough. And then we wonder where God is, right? God must have forgotten us. So we'll just forget about God. And then we try to squeeze our way out of the trouble that in most cases we started, you know, ourselves. We caused ourselves. We try to reason our way through life. We get stubborn. We refuse the counsel, maybe and the help of other people. We isolate ourselves from friends. We isolate ourselves from family. We isolate ourselves from God. Sometimes when we're helpless, we kind of snub Him. God, where are you? You're not around, so I might as well just forget you. And so I think that the stones are meant to help us from forgetting God. But there's a third thing that answers the question, I think, why did God want them to put stones up as a memorial? I think that He wanted to remind them of their personal experience. To remind them of their personal experience. You know, in verse 6, it's an interesting verse. It says, and yours may read a little differently, but the original language talks about the children asking questions. You know, children do that, right? They ask a lot of questions. The children's question to the parents literally reads, "What do these stones mean to you?" Now, that's a different question from what do these stones mean? What do these stones mean to you? What do these stones mean to you? The question is. And so the stones were supposed to represent their personal experience with God, right? What they saw, what they felt, what they heard. And the stones would cause them to reflect and begin to share with their children, let me tell you what God did for me. Now, I think this is a good question or a good statement. I want to put it in the form of a question. How often are we telling each other, us, each other? How often are we telling our coworkers at work? How often are we telling our children, let me tell you what God did for me yesterday. Let me tell you what God did for me last week. Let me tell you what God did for me last month. Let me tell you what God did for me last year. I think we ought to be saying this a lot. I think we ought to be sharing our personal experience with God, with each other, and with other people outside the walls of this church. Amen? Let me tell you what God did for me. And so I think it's a good way for us to remember. There's another reason, though, that God wanted Israel to put up stones. They were meant to be a teaching tool for the parents. A teaching tool for the parents. They were meant to teach the kids about the faithfulness and the power of God that's available. And the message to us is this: if we don't make a conscious effort to share what God has done in our lives, then the next generation will forget what God has done. Or worse, they won't have any knowledge of God. They won't have any experience of God themselves. And so someone once said that Christianity is just one generation away from extinction. One generation away from extinction. And so it's up to us to share our story. Up to us to always be saying, let me tell you what God did for me. In regard to our salvation, in regard to our healing, in regard to Him moving, taking us out of something and into a new life, in regard to addiction, moving us out of addiction, in regard to so many different things in our lives, we ought to be saying, not just to ourselves, we ought to be saying to our children, we ought to be saying to our grandchildren, let me tell you what God did for me. Let me tell you. With a smile on your face, right? Yeah. Let me tell you what God did for me. And so I think that's important. It's so, so important. And finally, to remind them, he put stones up, Joshua put stones up, to remind all the people that God was in their past, but He was leading them toward their future. He was in their past, but He was leading them toward the future. And, you know, it's an interesting meaning of the word Gilgal, or the place where they were at. Gilgal means the reproach has been rolled away. Interesting meaning of that city. And it's significant because the stones were erected on the 10th day of the first month, exactly 40 years to the day since Israel marched out of Egypt. 40 years. That day marked the completion of the 40 years in the wilderness. That day. That very day. 40 years of spiritual defeat. 40 years of failure. 40 years rolled away. The past is behind them now, and God has been faithful to His promise, hasn't He? But now it's the dawn of a new beginning in a new land for the Israelites. There's a future ahead of them. The past is behind them. And this all happened on this very day. And And I want to say something that I think is really important for all of us to understand. The God is a God of movement. God is a God of movement. God is on the move. Always moving. And when you think about your life, it's safe to say that God is either moving you out of something or moving you towards something. And he may be doing both at the same time, as the instance of the Israelites. But God had no intentions of the Israelites staying near the banks of the Jordan River. That's not where he wanted them to stay. What was ahead of them? Jericho was ahead of them. And they had something, they had to take care of Jericho, didn't they? In a specific way in which to do that. But he had a future in mind for the Israelites, and it wasn't there on the banks of the Jordan River. And I want to say, God has a future in mind for you. You hear me? And I can say confidently that he has no intentions of you staying tethered to your past. No intentions of you staying chained to your failures and to your poor choices. God is a God of movement. And he wants to release you of your past, and he wants to lead you into a hopeful future that's full of life and full of joy and full of blessing. I thought there'd be an amen right there. God is writing new chapters in all of our lives, all the time. The question is, are we going to stay on the banks of the river? Or are we going to go forward? You see, there's a key, though, we need to understand. I think we really need to understand it. We have to move on with God. And we need to trust him as he leads us into some uncharted territory. All the future ahead of the Israelites, uncharted territory. All brand new. I'm going to say it again. God doesn't want our poor past, some of our past, not been that great. Huh? He doesn't want our past to define us, our poor past. But he doesn't want our blessed past to define us either. Where we're always just reveling in what God did in the past for us. Oh, do you remember when God did that in 1995? No, I don't even remember 1995. How many of you remember 1995? How many of you remember 1991? 93? 97? 83? 84? You do? Some of them were good years. But we can't live on the good years of the past. Well, we can't only for so long. God's a God of movement. God's a God of movement. And he doesn't want our poor past to define us. He doesn't want our blessed past to define us. He just doesn't want our past to define us. He's got a hopeful future for every one of us. I believe that. I believe it. How many believe it? He does. But you know what? The question is, are we going to grab his hand and go? That's the question. So, you know, if you are here at the Vineyard, you know the drill. If you've been here for any length of time, you know that we always offer a time of prayer and ministry at the end of our services. And do you know what our times of ministry and prayer are at the end of the service? Do you know what they are? They're opportunities to move on. That's what they are. They're opportunities to end a season of wandering, maybe, or end a season of repetitive sin. There are opportunities to move on from maybe a season of depression or a season of shame. There are opportunities to move on with God. That's what this is up here. Or up at the communion tables. Or getting a time of prayer. That's all it is. Opportunities. Opportunities for us to take God by the hand and have God lead us into a new place. Amen. And I believe, I honestly believe this, that every single week, God is speaking to a few of us, and He's saying, pick up a stone. Turn it into a marker of something that's ending in your life. And take my hand, because it's time to move on. It's time. I believe God is saying to so many people, it's time to move on. I've got better things for you. I've got better attitudes for you. I've got better habits for you. I've got better circumstances for you. I've got new battles and victories for you. It's time to move on. It's time to move on. That's what this is up here. We say, come receive prayer. That's all it is an opportunity, an opportunity. And we want to create this opportunity today for all of us to build some memorials in our lives. And you'll see, obviously, a table full of rocks. They're not quite as big as those stones on the banks of the Jordan River, but they'll do. And we're going to take some time this morning to remember something God has done for you and for me. To remember, what has God done for me? What has God done for me? What has God done for my marriage? What has God done for my children? What has God done for my soul? What has God done for my life? And so, this is the way we're going to do it today. I want to share a few things before we do it. We're going to get quiet before the Lord when I invite you to. And ask the Holy Spirit to remind us of something that God has done for us. Remember, it's all about God. And as He does, you might even want to say it out loud. Lord, I remember what You've done for me. I remember what You've done for me. And then after you've remembered, and He's shared that with you, that specific thing that you really remember what God has done, I want you to come up, and I want you, not now, I'll tell you when. I know how this works. Then I want you to come up and take one of these rocks. Put it in a prominent place in your home. Put it on the dash of your car. Put it on your nightstand. And let it remind you of something impossible, some impossible thing that God has done for you. It's a simple thing, but it could be a very powerful moment and opportunity for you as you do it today. So let me share a couple things, why this is important. Why are we building some personal memorials today? One, to increase your faith. Increase your faith. Because most of the time we rush through the weeks and the months without much thought to where we've been and what God has done in our lives. That's the truth. And when we forget the things that God has done for us in the past, we limit our faith for Him for the future. Don't miss that. And so this is for you to increase your faith. Here I am. I don't mean to do this. Yeah. All right. Two, when you pick up a rock today, you're encouraging other people in their faith. And this is what you're saying when you pick up a rock today. God parted the Jordan for me, and He can do it for you. Amen? God parted the Jordan for me, and He can do it for you. He can do it for you as well. And so you're going to encourage other people's faith. And then three, you're going to establish your victory over the enemy, Satan. Because Satan will tell you, ah, nothing happened. That was all on your own. You did it all by yourself. And he'll get you to doubt the power of God or the presence of God manifested in your life. And so when you pick up a rock today, you can remind Satan, God changed me right here. God changed me right here. God helped me here. God provided a miracle for me here, right here. He did it. And so God wants us to remember some miracle moments. Has God ever healed you in your body? Build a memorial. Has God ever delivered you from alcohol? Build a memorial. Has God ever delivered you from drugs? Build a memorial. Has God ever filled you with the Holy Spirit? Build a memorial. He's ever met a financial need for you? Build a memorial. Blessed you? A memorial. Met you in your grief? Set your feet back on solid ground? You build a memorial before the Lord. Have you ever grown spiritually? Had a season where you grew spiritually? Are you walking closer to the Lord than you were 6 months ago? Build a memorial. Tell God, God, I thank you for what you've done for me. I remember it. Has God saved your marriage from falling apart? Build a memorial to the Lord. And so some of you are going to do that today, but some of you need to just move on with God. And we need to let God lead us into a new place and a new season. We need to put our painful and our sinful past to rest. End that persistent attitude. That stinks. Right? You know it? Bury that sinful habit. Leave indifference and apathy and bitterness on the other side of the river. Leave it. Just leave it. And grab God's hand, and you need to move on. You need to move on. And so some of you, when you take the rock today, you're inviting God to end one season and begin a new one. Begin a new one. Who's ready? Who's ready to end a season? Begin a new one. Let's get quiet before the Lord. Invite Him to tell you, to remind you about that thing that He did for you that was impossible in your eyes, but He made it possible. Lord, I remember that thing you did for me. If you've got it fixed in your mind, just come up when you're ready. Build your own personal memorial. Lord, I remember. I'm grabbing your hand today. I'm moving forward. I'm moving on. I'm moving with you. You're a God of movement. You're unleashing me from my past. You're releasing me from the past. Look what you have done in my life, God. It's amazing. It's incredible. It's unbelievable. I will not forget what you did for me. I will share it with others. Let me tell you what God did for me. Let me tell you how God saved my life. Let me tell you how God healed my life. Let me tell you how he healed my soul.
Times I stumble and fall short of your standard.
I won't forget, Lord.
Rest assured, there is love.
You're so good. You are so good, Lord. You are so good. Your faithfulness, God,
is
incredible. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we declare that this is a new day for so many today. This is a brand new day. This is a brand new day. We declare, Lord, that this is also a brand new day for some marriages today. You're going to bring them into a season of blessing. Brand new day for some children today, for some young people today. Think of our youth that are at their weekend retreat. It will be a brand new day for them, a day of hope. God, move us forward. Release us from the past. Lord, we will not forget what you have done for us. We will remember. We will remember, Lord. And I declare, God, that this is going to be a brand new season for the vineyard. God, let it be a brand new season of growth for the vineyard. A season of incredible growth for the vineyard, Lord. As we put our past behind us and we look to the future, Lord, as we grab your hand, Lord, as you lead us into the future as a church, God, we pray that this would be an incredible time of blessing and growth for us as a church. I pray that, God, I declare that in Jesus' name. So we take these rocks today and we consider it our opportunity that we grabbed. We grabbed up the opportunity today. And we didn't let it go. And we say, we're moving on with you, Lord.
The storms of strife,
and everybody said amen. Amen. Be blessed. Enjoy your families. Don't lose this rock.
Sure.